In the name of God, Creator and Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
It is the last Sunday after Pentecost, and therefore this Sunday and to a lesser degree next Sunday, but especially this Sunday, is a minor festival in the church season, and has become associated since the 1970s with the Roman Catholic feast of Christ the King, or the reign of Christ. Anglicans and Lutherans and Roman Catholics all observe this day. And there is an interesting history of the assignment of this extra festival to this last Sunday. But you can tell by the readings and by the hymns, it is a glorious occasion in which we honor not only the kingship of our Lord Jesus, but also the sacrifice of his life that made that kingship possible. So that is how we now turn to the gospel this morning, which presents, I think, a more somber note on this idea of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let me begin with a story of one of the other things that stems from my quite long tenure back in Durham at the University of New Hampshire. And one of the many interesting things that I could do as a chaplain there was the opportunity to be a consultant or panelist to classes. You know, a panel of distinguished experts would be brought out, and every once in a while, the phone would ring or I'd receive an email, sometimes from the philosophy department or the sociology department or the study of religion department. They often called on me, and maybe we had some other colleagues together, and we would have a great discussion with the students about all kinds of interesting. And one day I heard from a professor in the pre-law program, this was a little unusual, who was walking his students through famous trials in history. Galileo, Joan of Arc, the Scopes trial, the Nuremberg trials. And now they had decided, or he had thought it would be great to take up the trial of Jesus before Pilate. Interesting idea. I had to commend him for that thoughtfulness, even though I thought to myself, oh brother, I'm in for it now. A portion of that trial we hear today in John's Gospel. And so the first challenge for my presentation was exactly that there are four passion accounts of the so-called trial before Pilate. They are similar, but with many differences. We hear Matthew, Mark, or Luke's on Palm Sunday, but it is only on Good Friday that we hear John's Passion and John's account of the trial of Jesus. So in an hour and a half, to encapsulate four different versions of this same event was the tall order. So armed with an outline of the major points, off I went to this class, and the questions were good ones. They were sharp, sharp students. And they asked questions, I think the same ones that we should often ask about the trial of Jesus before Pilate, but often just don't get around to or don't think of them in the same way. What crime was Jesus accused of? Well, saying he was the Son of God and King of Jews. What evidence was there for that? Well, mainly hearsay and a lot of misquoting and quite a few lies. Who was the prosecutor? Well, his accusers. Who defended him? Himself. He was his own defense. Who was the judge? A gentleman named Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor, who ironically ended up less judging Jesus and more defending him. And the best question of all, if the so-called crime was religious, Why was the trial held before a Roman judge in a civil court, betraying their Anglo-American sense of the separation of church and state? And my response had to be, because it was the surest way to get him killed. Our American Anglo justice system, our criminal justice system in particular, seeks just that. Justice. An end result, sometimes, but not always, of determining the truth. And the verdict is just that, a statement, a finding of the truth. From the Latin word veredictum, which means to speak the truth. Jesus' trial ended with a verdict of sorts, but not the truth. Not at least as far as Pilate is concerned. Pilate's three questions go unanswered. We hear them today. The three unanswered questions. Are you the king of the Jews? What have you done? What is true? Those questions were not answered by Jesus, nor by the evidence, nor by the verdict of his trial, nor by his execution. The answers that Pilate sought and the UNH students were onto couldn't be determined in a court, let alone one rigged and manipulated. The answers were questions that only the evidence of faith could provide. The trial of Jesus was as biased against him as it was against Pilate. The truth of the kingdom of God was beyond Pilate's capacity to measure or grasp or even prove. Are you the king of the Jews? I am not a Jew, am I? What have you done? Oh, so your kingdom is not of this world. What is truth? None of the questions were answered the way Pilate could even find comprehensible. And the question of what is truth rings down to us. A verdict that speaks the truth opens the door for justice to prevail. The verdict and justice are two different things. And sometimes that happens. The verdict speaks the truth and justice prevails. And our lives, shared under our legal system and under the concept of common good, benefits from that result. Justice flows down to all people. But when the verdict does not speak the truth, because legal strictures present addressing the real matter at hand, or the verdict reveals the truth incompletely, then the door to justice opens only partially, and we are left with unresolved questions, if we have any resolution at all. And we are frustrated that justice did not find a solution. And the deeper truth of the issue remains unexamined and unresolved. The deeper truth that Jesus was trying to convey to Pilate, we all know, because Easter Day began rendering the final verdict of God on the powers of evil to destroy good. But yet we wait for that in many, many other areas of our life. Karl Rahner, the Jesuit theologian and priest, wrote these words about Jesus' encounter with Pilate and Pilate's questions. Jesus is king because he came to bear witness to the truth. What is the truth meant by Pilate's questions to him? The answer is in John's gospel, for John's truth has no plural. It is not truths. It is not the same thing as truth as a set of legal propositions or statements. It means the opposite of the world, which so often is a darkness that God has been shut out from and that light will not enter. John's truth, Jesus' truth, is the opposite. For this I was born and have come to the world to testify.
Pilate's questions be our questions that we seek constantly to answer in our faith, in our common life, in our judicial system, in our politics, wherever God places us to be. What have we done to proclaim the gospel? Do we believe that Jesus has come to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And above all, what is